Hey everyone, welcome to the fourth episode of the Pete Craft Podcast. This week's episode is the third in our rotation to cover all the monk specs. And last and certainly not least, we will be focusing today on brewmasters. I'll be your host, Babylonius, and although I may actually be considering tanking for my guild, my brewmaster knowledge is relatively limited, so I will try and leave it to the experts. Joining me today are Imalson and Paoni. Thank you for joining me, guys. So let's hear a little bit about you. Imalson, tell us, the listeners, about yourself.
Okay, so I'm Imalson, and I am right now one of the main tanks for the Exiled on Arthas. I've been playing Brewmaster since early Nighthold, but didn't really start doing Mythic on it until Antorus. I got involved in the Analyzer at that point. The WoW Analyzer is the main thing that I'm known for. And have been pretty heavily involved in the Brewmaster community since then.
All right, thanks for coming, and apologies for mispronouncing your name.
That's okay.
Double L's, I assume, was Imalson instead of Emelson. But I'll get it fixed. So, returning to us is Paoni, our brewmaster expert from the first podcast we did. Pao, how's it going?
We're good.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
So, like Babylonia said, I've been on here before, but I am one of the current brewmaster spec leaders for the Peak of Serenity website and also one of the Discord moderators. I currently raid in Deadbeat Dads, and I actually, funnily enough, I play Mistweaver, but I do... Brewmaster has always been my baby. It's mostly just been a necessity thing. I've been tanking and part of the tank community for going on 10 years now. So I've been around for a while, but recently just became part of the Peak of Serenity team.
Awesome. Thank you for coming. So, all right, so let's get started. We will dive in. So, first thing that we'd like to talk about, what is each of yours' favorite part of being a brewmaster?
Personally, I really, really like the mobility. I like the versatility of the toolkit. Like, so you look at a tank like a Blood DK, and there's the utility they bring is strong, but it's really, really straightforward to use. I mean, Death Grip does exactly what it says on the box. It grabs a target to you. Mass Grip groups things. But you look at Brewmaster and you have tools like Ring of Peace, you have tools like Transcendence and Roll and all that stuff, and the mobility combined with the versatility of their tools means that you could be really, really creative in how you use them, using Ring of Peace on corners to group mobs, or using it as just a knockback, or using it to scatter mobs or separate out like an infested mob, for example. If it's lagging behind a pack and didn't get CC'd, you can just drop a ring apiece to stop it in place. So I really just like the versatility and the creativity that you can have with a lot of the tools in the kit.
Awesome. And Emelson, how about you? What's your favorite thing about Brewmaster?
In a word, it's Roll, honestly. I really, really like Roll. I think, the only person with a colored name in the Peak Discord that actually uses Roll still. I run Tiger's Lust all of the time on all three specs. Other than that, like, I do really like some of the stuff that Paoni was talking about, where tools like Ring of Peace and even our Mastery, especially back in Legion, when we could force dodge a lot of mechanics to deal with them in a way that other tanks couldn't, that required you to time things well, gave you a lot of interesting things to do on a lot of different fights.
Awesome. So then how about your least favorite thing about playing a Brewmaster?
The entirely static rotation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's really that, like, that's probably my single, if I had to point to any one thing, that's probably my single biggest complaint about Brewmaster, is that you hit the same buttons in the same order the entire fight, pretty much without regard for what you're doing. It's just completely rote, complete muscle memory. You're doing exactly the same thing from start to finish.
Yeah, when we're looking at logs for people asking about low DPS, it's always exactly the same thing. They're not casting their two spells to do damage on cooldown. And there's a little bit of a joke going around where if you want to get an orange parse as a brewmaster, you cast those two on cooldown and you have a good weapon and good trinkets, and that's all you need.
Yeah, Blackout Strike and Keg Smash.
I was going to say, I was about to ask which two you were talking about. I figured it was those two.
Yeah.
It's those two.
Basically, just hit them on cooldown, and if you did nothing else, you would still do pretty well.
Yeah, but what about breathing fire? Everyone wants to light shit on fire.
I am not even going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole, man. I'll leave you to that desire.
I mean, yeah.
I like that ability. I think it looks cool. The damage on it really sucks, but it looks cool.
See, and here I kind of expect you guys to say something about self-healing.
I'm fine with us having a lack of self-healing as a weakness. What I'm not fine with is the lack of, I guess, recovery tools, but that's something we'll talk about later, which is a little different. Basically, the ability to, like, get yourself out of a bad situation.
Yeah, I think there's definitely room for us to get a little bit of love in that regard. Especially, you know, if I'm out doing world quests. It's really sad that if I'm in my tank spec, I actually end up having to stop and heal myself more than if I'm playing Windwalker. Just because Windwalker has actual, like, defensive cooldowns that mitigate things, whereas Brewmaster's cooldown is just putting more damage into Stagger.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Afterlife be a monk thing, not just Windwalker specific.
Oh god, I would
give everybody some self-healing out there.
That would be great for all the people who come into brew questions and ask, why am I taking so much damage while I'm leveling, and get the answer, level is Windwalker.
Right, yeah, I mean, one, I guess kind of historically, you know, Brewmaster was almost the preferred spec to level, especially if you were out questing because of being able to group everything up, but I guess the self-healing is not quite there as it used to be.
Yeah, it's just because it's all based on, I mean, like Gift of the Ox and all of that, except for healing elixirs, our self-healing is all a function of how much of our health we're taking in damage. It's not really a recovery tool as much as it's just a slow the bleeding tool.
Quite literally, as a tank.
Yeah,
quite literally.
All right, so, you know, moving towards kind of a big topic for everybody is Mythic Plus and Mythic Dungeons. How do you guys feel that Brewmaster is doing in Mythic Dungeons?
So this is one of the things that I think we both kind of touched on when we were talking about, like, our most and least favorite things about Brewmaster, because they're both very relevant here, which is the versatility of the toolkit means that if you are a experienced brewmaster and you know how to use these tools that you have available to you, you can do really strong things. I mean, you can look at Trelski is a great example of someone who pushes the absolute highest keys as brewmaster, despite the community perception being that brewmaster is exceptionally weak. But a lot of times these tools, like the tools that are available to brewmaster, just require a lot more, I guess, careful planning on how to actually take advantage of them, which means that for a lot of cases, if you're not using that versatility and you're not approaching problems very creatively and kind of outside the box and thinking, how can I use every part of my toolkit to the best of its ability? It's really easy to just feel like a mana sponge who's just there to do damage.
Absolutely. And I think Transcendence is a perfect example of that, because if you don't think ahead and put down your Transcendence where you're going to want to go to after you've pulled, the ability is just you it's not good if you don't think and plan ahead.
Yeah, and so it becomes very, very difficult to avoid that that feeling of I don't offer anything, because it takes a lot more coordinated effort, not even just on the part of the tank, but on the part of the group to make use of these tools. So it makes it very hard to pug with as well, because, like, if I'm going to use a Ring of Peace in a pug, there's only a few ways that I can use it that don't require me to be talking to my group and saying, I'm going to do something kind of weird to help us.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good point, especially when it comes to pugs.
I've had a lot of fun doing Keys as Brewmaster this expansion. We kept one of... We lost... So Kick Smash used to slow by 50% by default. That's down to 20% now, or 25%. But our talent special delivery kept the 50% slow, which means as far as Kaiden goes, we are one of the better tanks for that. I think prop paladins are still better, but we can do it. And as someone who comes from like a hunter background and really likes kiting shit, I really enjoy that aspect of where we are right now. I know other members of the community are not super high on having to kite a lot in Mythic Dungeons right now, but it's something that I've really enjoyed.
Yeah, I think it's something that's kind of polarizing, but a lot of people feel like you should be encouraged to just stand and fight, and a lot of people feel like, well, kiting is one of the strongest things that Brewmaster offers, so you should make use of it where you can, so on. It's kind of a difference in, I guess, approach in how people view the game and want to view the game.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So what then is each of your most favorite and least favorite Mythic Dungeon to play as a Brewmaster?
Least favorite is the Motherlode.
I 100% agree that least favorite is Motherlode. Although Motherlode does have some kind of fun stuff you can do as Brewmaster. It's just...
It does.
I just dislike that dungeon in general.
There's the thing that gets me about that dungeon. It was one of the first Mythic Plus dungeons that I did once I hit 120. And I hadn't really paid attention to the way that the Mythic dungeons were shaping up in BFA. But I had been paying attention to the design philosophy for tanks going into BFA, where the intention was that we mostly mitigate physical damage. So when there's a bunch of magical damage, there's not a lot that we can do. And the Motherlode just has boatloads of it. There's a lot of it. There's a lot that's instant cast. There's a lot that's not interruptible. There's, I think, the worst example or best example is the Geniuses, I think they're called, towards the end of the dungeon. Masterminds. Where they are not CC-able. They cannot be interrupted. They do a cast that does a ton of magic damage on the tank. And there's nothing anyone can do about it except heal the tank.
Don't they're the ones that pop you out of stealth and buff or summon adds or something like that too.
Yeah, and I think those problems are kind of highlighted by the fact that the quote unquote meta Mythic Plus route for Motherlode is you clear basically everything before the first two bosses, and then you clear nothing after the second boss. You death skip to the third boss, you death skip to the last boss.
I've never minded death skips being like a cool strat that you can use to skip some hard trash and get your time down. But when it's the strategy that everyone uses, even in pugs, I think that really clearly shows that they made a mistake with those mobs.
Yeah, and it's not even like death skipping a single pack. It's death skipping half the dungeon. Like you're doing it to skip a quarter of the trash before the third boss and then the remaining quarter of the trash before the last boss. It's just because that trash is so nightmarish on your tank, and just actually dealing with the damage output, you don't have any tools to deal with it. It just kind of does a lot of damage, and there's not much you can do about it. I think more on a positive note about what's actually my favorite dungeon. This might come as a little bit of a surprise, but I think my favorite dungeon is actually Temple of Cithralis, just because there's a lot of really cool things you can do in that dungeon, even if there's some parts that are really annoying.
I'm thinking specifically of the orb part.
I'm thinking of the orb part. I'm thinking of the skips you can do at the very end to make use of the buff on the last boss. There's some things in that dungeon that I think are just really kind of interesting and creative and cool that the community's come up with that made me like that dungeon a lot more than when I was doing it on beta. even though I think there's definitely parts of it that are really annoying from a Mythic Plus perspective, namely the lightning ball gauntlet thing. I think that thing is just...
Absolutely.
I want that thing gone. I will be completely honest.
When I did that in beta, I got through it just fine. Everybody in my group got through it just fine. I think we just got lucky, to be honest, that we had no issues with it. Because now having pugged that dungeon a lot of times, there's so often that you'll start through it and everything looks okay, and then two of the walls just like sync up, and on the circular one, two of the walls sync up and there's just no gap. And you have to like either turn around and run back or hit the wall and get knocked back. And that just sucks.
Yeah.
I think my problem with that part is that I have the tendency to want to roll through it, and the windows can be so small that it's really hard. Like, and you almost have to plan your roll of, you know, where a hole isn't, but will be shortly. And that just, like, I feel like I can take a tool that I have that should make this much easier, and sometimes it makes it much harder.
So I actually love doing that, because there's one spot on that circular one. So if you know the, this is kind of a, I don't think a super well-known skip, but locks can actually lock gate over that whole section if they put it in the right spot.
Yeah.
Well, if you go up to that section as a monk and you roll off of it, you can actually skip a lot of the balls, but you have to be really careful about where you land.
Do you know if that works with just roll, or do you need chi torpedo?
I don't know offhand. I always run chi torpedo, so I don't know if it works with regular roll.
That might be enough of a motivation for me to run chi torpedo just for that dungeon.
It's
just
kind of
to skip that part.
Yeah, it's kind of finicky, but it's really funny when you get it, because you just, like, you float, like, right above them for like, half of the gauntlet.
I think my favorite instance is actually Shrine of the Storms. There's, the bosses are fine. I actually really like the last boss, even if sometimes it feels brutal to wipe on that. But there's a lot of places where you can use Ring of Peace in combination with Paralysis to do cool things. So, for example, if you're coming down the stairs at the start, the caster mobs there, if you don't have a non-combat CC like a sap or an imprison in your group, you don't have a good way of skipping that. But as a monk with Paralysis and Ring of Peace, you can paralysis it. The Ring of Peace does not put you in combat. And knock it far enough away, and because it's paralyzed, it won't run back. So then you can just walk past.
Yeah, there's a lot of places you can do that, and that's one of the things that I point to. Like, what I was saying about, like, the versatility in the toolkit, that's, like, one of my favorite things to do, to skip mobs. And every time I do it, the group is just like, I had no idea that worked. That looks hilarious.
Feeling. There's also several uninterruptible casters that can still be knocked back. So that gives a little bit of extra power, because Ring of Peace has a pretty low cooldown, so you can interrupt some things that would otherwise be pretty dangerous using Ring of Peace.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll get the questions, or you guys will get the questions, because you guys manage the Brewmaster stuff, but is there a list somewhere of all of these tricks for people to read?
We are working on updating the dungeon guides to include a lot of them, because there were a lot that came out, or that came up kind of post-release as more people got their hands on the dungeon, so to speak, and could start playing around with stuff like that. But that's something we're actively working on, making a more complete list.
Yeah, and Sinzu has a list up for most of the instances that contains basically everything we knew as of the end of beta or the very beginning of launch.
Yeah.
But obviously we've learned a lot more since that, so there's still more to be added to them.
Okay, good. That's what I was hoping, because I know we'll get a lot of questions, and I know we were, the Windwalkers were just having to go back through the dungeon guides and add a bunch of that stuff too, so... all right, so I mean that you guys pretty much answered the next question, which was going to be, you know, what fun tricks can you do as a brewmaster? So now we can get to raids, something that I'm sure anybody who has kind of been following the brewmaster discussion of the past several weeks, a week or two weeks, 2 weeks. You know, and anybody who's been following that may know what a lot of this discussion will be about. But before we get to that log, how do you guys feel that Brewmaster are doing, you know, just in general?
Numerically speaking, I think Brewmaster is in an absolutely incredible spot. I think that we're probably the strongest raid tanks, especially from a progression standpoint, just because of the amount of safety that Stagger offers. It makes it so that it's really, really easy to recover from tank mistakes and kind of just things going badly in general as a raid group. Because very rarely are you in a situation where I have to take something to the face completely unmitigated. You always have that safety net of having a large amount of Stagger.
Absolutely. And I think that point is really exemplified. I was listening to the interview that was done with some of the Limit members earlier today. And before Fed the Devourer got nerfed on Mythic, when the DPS check was basically unreachable, they were trying a strategy where they one-tanked it. So they had a Brewmaster that just took both all of the thrashes and all of the melees. And anyone who's done that encounter, even on Heroic, knows that those hit really hard. And they just didn't run any melee, so that the thrashes would always go on the tank. And no other tank can do that, straight up. They would either not have the mitigation for all of the melees and all of the thrashes, or they would use their mitigation on the thrashes and die to the melees, or, you know, some combination of bad, for example, a prop paladin. Bad string of blocks means you die to melees because you have to save your shields for thrashes. We don't have that problem. We always have Iron Skin up. So that puts us in a really unique situation where we are really easy to heal because we never get spiked. And in the current raid environment, that makes us really, really strong.
Yep. We talk a lot about the smoothness of damage intake and how that makes Brewmaster strong, but it basically just means that at any given time, no matter what happens, you know as a healer that the Brewmaster tank is not going to die in the next 3 seconds. Like, you can look at his health and you say he's healthy, he is not going to just explode from damage. Well, I can do this other thing and then heal the Brewmaster when it's safe, when I have the available globals. There's not any extra strain on healer resources because the timetable for getting a monk healthy again is so long.
Awesome. So then how about most and least favorite boss to tank as a Brewmaster?
When the raid launched, first week of Heroic, I would have said my favorite boss was Fetid, because we were doing 30-man Heroics, where the thrashes on that hit harder than Mythic thrashes.
Yeah, I really think that, like, release Fetid as the off-tank was kind of the most fun fight that I've done.
Yeah, I was off-tank for that. Co-tank's a Blood DK, and now he's doing thrashes. We're progressing Mythic Fetid. He's doing the thrashes on that. Because he can just Deathstrike, but at the time, he didn't have the gear to survive the Enraged Thrashes when they were hitting even harder than they are now, you know, 30, 40 item levels lower.
And that fight in general just felt really good as the off-tank, because you have a much more active usage of, you know, your mitigation tools. You have something to plan around. It's not just melee attacks. There's a lot more going on that can actually allow you a lot of skill expression. Well, a decent amount of skill expression, I should say. Not really a lot.
Yeah, I think these days, I would say my favorite fight in Uldir is probably Zekvaz. Just there's enough that you have to do for positioning to be careful to not kill your melee, at least on Mythic, when the Void Lashes go out during the Surging Darkness. We have a lot of melee in our group, so it's a real risk of, if you move the boss incorrectly, 2 or 3 melee DPS just dropping dead. So there's a little bit more going on than just like, oh, how do I, you know, minimize the damage I'm taking. There's also the positioning and moving the boss to the adds in an efficient manner so that they can cleave.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with that. I think Zekbaz or Zul is my favorite one currently, but kind of conversely with the change or with the nerfs to the Thrash and it no longer being as threatening of a mechanic, which is a healthy overall change, I think it was like absolutely needed because there were, when we were looking at initial log data of Mythic, there's a discussion that was back in one of the Tank Theory Crafting Discords that was, we were not actually sure it would be mathematically possible for a Prot Paladin to off-tank that fight on Mythic. It was a very real concern that they just would not be able to.
You legitimately could not, in a 30-man heroic group on week one, off-tank as a Prot Paladin. It would one-shot you through Shield of the Righteous. You would have Shield of the Righteous up, and you would still die.
Yeah.
And you can't have other cooldowns up for the whole fight. We didn't have enough DPS to kill it in a minute and 30 seconds like we can now.
Yeah, I think anybody who's been kind of following things since launch would definitely recognize Fetid as certainly the fight that has seen the most nerfs and the most changes since it first came out, because it was, you know, you guys are absolutely correct. When it first came out, it was silly.
And I think that with the changes and the nerfs to it, it has quickly become my least favorite fight, because especially as a tank, you plant yourself in between two rocks so that the smashes don't knock you back, and you sit there. And you sit there some more, and you sit there a little bit more, and then the boss dies.
Yeah, and the boss doesn't hit nearly as hard anymore between the nerfs and just having more gear on our part. So it lost the really exciting aspect of I could die at any moment if I do one or two bad brew activations, I could just die. We don't have that anymore. It's much more forgiving now, being, you know, 375 item level going into the boss.
Yep.
So you kind of both will say that it was at one point in time your favorite and one point in time your least favorite.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of I think that goes nicely into when we were talking about the Fetid log on that post. A lot of the issues that we brought up are a combination of not just design issues on the side of the tanks, but also tuning issues in the bosses and just tailor design. Like it's the confluence of a lot of different design choices and tuning choices that have kind of created this environment. And I think that kind of showed in that when Fetid was super threatening, it was also really fun to do it right, because it was stressful enough that you knew that making a mistake would cost you, like, might cost your rate of pull, and that meant that when you got it, it felt super rewarding, and it felt amazing to actually do it right and, like, feel good about it and know that you played your ass off.
Yeah. Definitely, now that it's gotten nerfed, we've gotten more gear, it's lost that aspect. And what's left for the tanks, like Peo was saying, is just not much. And Brewmasters in particular suffer that our rotation is really, really stale. We don't have anything to do if we're not moving the boss or mitigating damage. And so now that we don't have to think so much about mitigating damage, and on Fetid you just don't move the boss. There's just nothing to do.
Yeah, and it's not even just not thinking about mitigating damage. I think one of the things that we talked about in that log is that when we're in a situation where damage is relatively... I hesitate to say damage is relatively low, because Fetid is still one of the higher tank damage fights in Ul'dir. But the problem is that damage on tanks is low relative to the available healing in an appropriate group. And so that leads to a situation where yeah, you could play absolutely wrong and you require, you know, 15% more healing and a lot and like 50% more directed casts onto the tank, but 50% more directed casts is, you know, 10 a minute from four healers. So that, like, two casts a minute for a healer is not, it's really not that significant. It's not even going to register as a blip on the radar, even though it's, you know, 50% more than you would otherwise need.
Gotcha. So then let's, you know, I guess transition into the big fetid log discussion. I know there's a very, very excellent post on Peak for people to check out, really, to go in some of that detail. And I know there's been a lot of discussion in about Discord, but for the casual listener, the uninitiated, maybe, you know, just briefly as you can, explain, you know, what fetid log we're talking about and why it's such a big point of discussion.
So the fetid log is one that basically we had a healer come into the Brew Lounge asking, this tank that I'm playing with is really hard to heal. Can y'all look at his logs and tell me if it's a problem on our end or if it's a problem on his end? And we looked at his logs and he legitimately was just almost not using his mitigation at all. Like his cast on brews, he was capping his charges, like sitting at three charges of Iron Skin and Purifying Brew and just not using them. And so in particular, the one that stood out, he actually didn't ask about the Fetid Devourer log. He asked about a different one. But I did some digging because I was curious, you know, they were on, I think, Zul or something and having issues.
That itself is actually an interesting point. The Fetid log, I should add, isn't the one that he asked about. That fight was not even, like, when it was brought up, he said, huh, I didn't realize this was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we look at it as super egregious, but the healer in question, even though it was a problem on other fights, on this fight, he didn't think it was a big deal.
So I went back and looked through the other ones because I was curious if this tank had been brought in just for Zul, had he done the other fights, because being on like Zul, you're pretty far into heroic at that point. You've probably killed some bosses. And sure enough, he had been in since, like, Mother, and so they killed Zekvaz and Vectis and Fetid Devourer with this Brewmaster. And Fetid Devourer stood out as the one where this was really egregious, because, like Peo was saying, even though the tank damage on that has been nerfed and it's not as high as it was, it's still higher than almost any other boss. The only other times I think that you have more damage on the tanks is in Phase 2 on Zul, where that's not something that we can mitigate anyway. So that spawned a lot of discussion, because that was something that we didn't think was possible. This guy having so few uses of his active mitigation and still surviving, and the healers not even realizing at that point that it was such a large issue. We had a lot of discussion in Brew Lounge. We had a lot of discussion in Vet Chat. We ultimately decided that we wanted to have something about that in the upcoming Mega Thread, and I was the one that volunteered to write the post on it, and so put that together on Monday and put it up. And so a little bit of an aside, that was intended as something for the Brewmaster community to read. Not that I mind other people reading it and commenting on it, but it very, very quickly got way farther than I had intended it to be read. And so there are some misconceptions that I think we should probably address here about what the post is saying about Brewmasters, about tanking, about tank evaluation.
Sure. I think that's a good point, because that was something I know you guys mentioned beforehand. So why don't you guys take the time that you need to, you know, kind of try and dispel those myths and answer those questions that you've been getting.
So I think the biggest misconception, this is actually something that Ian mentioned the post in the Q&A that they did on Thursday, that they mentioned, you know, if you look at the damage taken per second, at the healing required per second, there is a difference. We can argue over whether it's a substantial difference. He used that 15% number that Heyo mentioned, We can argue over whether that's substantial or not, but I don't think the fact that it is substantial or isn't substantial is actually the problem. That's not what I was trying to convey with the post. What the real underlying issue that caused so much discussion was, nobody could tell. Nobody noticed. The tank didn't die. The healers didn't notice. So if this guy, who's barely using his active mitigation, is not noticeably different from someone who's really using their active mitigation, the question then is, what's the point of doing it? And that's something that I think needs to be addressed for Brewmasters in particular, because other tanks have much broader periods of vulnerability where they don't have active mitigation up. But our base stagger right now is just so high that not having Iron Skin up is actually, it turns out, okay a lot of the time.
And also, to go along with that, this is one of the things that was mentioned in the article, but was, I think a lot of people glossed over it as a side point when we really want it to be one of the main focuses, because we're kind of an educational community, is that if someone who's in this position, who is playing this, like, this egregiously outside of what we would consider good, has no feel that there is a mistake being made because it's so easily recoverable by a slight increase in healing and just being a brewmaster. If he can't tell that he's making a mistake, how does he know what he needs to change or improve on or anything like that? There's not the signals that a mistake is being made at all, because they're so washed out, both because they're felt by the healer rather than the tank, and because even on the part of the healer, it's distributed across, you know, 4 or 5 healers instead of one, like it would be in Mythic Plus, for example, or focused entirely on the tank for them to look at their own play. And so it puts you in a situation where to improve as a brewmaster, you don't ask yourself to look at your own play. You have outside tools look at your play. You have your healers look at your play and give their opinion. Like, you yourself don't have that feedback to improve. And so for someone who's, for example, pugging, who doesn't have an open line of communication with their healers to say, hey, I'm trying something different, let me know if this works, how is that person supposed to improve?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a broader issue with tanking in general. One of the most common questions we get is, how do I sim for defensives? And the answer is typically you don't, because it varies so much from fight to fight, what works and what doesn't. But there's also a connected issue that feedback for tank success in WoW has historically been that if you do it wrong, you die. And I don't know that that is the best way to give feedback about whether you're tanking well or not, but it was something. Right now, brewmasters don't have that. We don't have any feedback at all. There's feedback issues with other tanks as well, but brewmasters really are the egregious example right now.
Yeah, it leads to a lot of questions as well about things like, hey, we're progging on fetid and I'm just ticking down and dying. Is that a healer problem? Is that a me problem? Like, where does the issue lie? And I can go and look at logs, and I can do a really in-depth analysis of logs. And a lot of times, I just have to say to the person, I don't know who made the mistake, but as far as I can tell, the only change is that you both kind of need to improve. And I can't really give solid feedback, because it depends so much on situation, it depends on the healers, what the healers are doing. Like, I'm trying to comment on how 5 people can improve to keep this one person alive, because what the one person can do to help the situation is basically non-existent.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think the last kind of misconception that has really cropped up around the post, or maybe not the last one, but the last one that I can think of right now, is that tanking is solely about, you know, using your mitigation well. And this is connected to like Brewmaster mitigation doesn't really mitigate damage, it just kind of moves it around so you don't take it all at once. But using that well is important, and we lack feedback signals on that. But there's also the issue of this specific case. Fetid Devour is a fight, as we mentioned previously, that doesn't have anything else for the tanks to do. So if you also don't have to worry about your mitigation at all, you could actually just be AFK hitting taunt every 7 seconds and kill the boss. Like, if you don't have to use your mitigation, and you also don't have to move the boss, and you also don't have to do any mechanics, then you just don't have to do anything. And so that's something that stuck out in this log in particular. Because we know for Fetid Devour, all you have to do as a tank is mitigate damage on this particular fight. I think Ian, when he mentioned in the Q&A that there are other aspects of tanking that are also really important. From my perspective, utility is probably the most important aspect of any tank. And in Mythic Plus, I think we're in a really good spot. In raids, I think we're really lacking because our two main utility tools are stagger and our movement abilities. And Ring of Peace does not work on bosses. Paralysis rarely works on encounters. And so that leaves us with, like, we have stagger and we have roll or chi torpedo. And there are a lot of fights where you just don't want to roll because what that does is it screws over your melee by moving the boss too quickly. It pulls the boss out of range when you're better off just kind of strafing to the side. And pulling the boss in the direction you want using a movement boost like Tiger's Lust or using just your normal movement speed. So we really only have one tool on most fights. We have stagger, and that's it. And that leaves us in a situation where the real crux of this post is that on this fight, we had one job, and it didn't matter if we did it well or not.
Yeah, I mean, I hesitate to bring up specific names on this because I don't want them to get kind of name and shamed for it. But there were a couple logs that were posted by people in the Brew Discord or in Brew Lounge that were literally just AFKing the fight as the Fetid off tank because you didn't need to worry about threat. Literally just had to AFK on the rock, not
There
hit a
was some
button, get up and walk away.
There was some discussion about people trying to just tank all of Mythic on farm. So I think the guild that was doing, or the people were in a guild that was on Gahoon, and they were re-killing bosses, and they were just going to see how far they could get without using brews, or how far they could get before their healers forced them to start using brews. I don't remember how far they got,
But
but
the one that you're thinking of got up to Zul.
okay. Got up to Zul without using brews as a brewmaster, which
On
is a
Mythic,
problem
we should clarify.
on Mythic.
Yeah, it's just kind of
That's
awkward.
very interesting.
It's just kind of awkward because it shows how much of the onus of our survival is on healing rather than on actually tanking. That you can just not use your tank abilities and live through most of the early Mythic fights.
Right, and it absolutely brings up an issue when people are trying to improve. If the answers to, yeah, here's what you can do to improve, don't actually, like, they may not actually notice any real world improvement.
Yeah, and it's also something we struggle with when trying to explain like stats and Azerite and stuff like that, but that's a whole other can of worms.
Awesome. Well, I think, I think you did a really nice job of summarizing that. So, is there anything else you wanted to add about that topic before we move on?
Just to kind of wrap it up, highly expect that we will get some changes in 8.1, hopefully on the PTR the next week so we can actually test them. But some changes coming in 8.1 to kind of eliminate the ability to AFK a fight. Even if that's just going back to the Legion model of low base stagger, high iron skin stagger. which didn't have this issue. But also, this is kind of just an issue as well of their encounter design and their overall raid architecture, where there's so much healing output available that as long as you're not literally getting one shot, you can be healed back up. So
Leads
there
to a
are
lot
other
of
issues
problems
that need
in
to be
it
addressed.
leads to a lot of problems in Mythic Plus as well, that particular
Yeah.
issue, because they have to balance a tool like Stagger against the available healing in both raids and Mythic Plus, where the damage increase in raids is not necessarily proportional to the increase in healing available to the tank.
So I hope that we don't see another encounter like Fetid in the next tier, because right now, at least, it's just one of those the problems with it, they're really clear as kind of this patchwork for the tanks where the tanks just don't have to do anything. So I hope we don't see that again in the next year. I like the more mechanical fights. I hope that we see those going into 8.1.
Awesome. All right. So, as we kind of start to wrap this up a little bit, one thing we've liked to do in the past with the other two specs is since the guests tend to be people who pay a lot of attention to Discord and are very active moderating and all that all that other stuff with Discord. Fed log stuff aside, what is a question you guys see asked a lot that you wish you could just kind of answer it once and never have to answer it again.
I think somebody else actually already took this question, but the question would be, does this trait stack?
Oh, God.
That's probably a good one for all the specs.
Yeah.
The answer is yes, unless you're talking about the defensive component of Boiling Brew or Elusive Footwork. Everything else stacks.
Yeah, and along that same lines, how many eye levels is this trait worth? The answer, defensively, is it's really hard to give you a general answer. We just can't. It will depend on the encounter. It will depend on your healers. It will depend on the difficulty level of what you're doing. It's almost impossible for us to give a firm or firm answer on how much eye level is X worth defensively, no matter what X is. If it's a trait, if it's a trinket, if it's a piece of gear, like we can't put solid numbers on that a lot of times. And so what we do instead is have to examine kind of what does it actually do for you, and is that useful in what you're doing?
I know we've talked about Fetid a lot today, but I think Fetid is a perfect example of that, because training of Niuzhao is one of our best traits on the outer row. It gives you a bunch of extra mastery, which translates to dodge percent. So in a lot of fights, it's great. And if you're the main tank on Fetid, it's probably just like your best trait aside from Gemhide. However, if you're the off tank, it actually doesn't do anything at all. It gives you a little bit of extra DPS, but it's not even very good at that. So, like, that's the kind of issue that we're talking about when we say we can't give you an eye level for this trait, for this trinket, for this stat. It just varies too much.
Absolutely, and I think I would add on to that, simply the fact that how Azerite traits work in terms of their scaling also makes it very difficult. Everybody asks those questions because that's kind of what we're used to asking when it comes to tier bonuses or artifact traits, but artifact traits didn't scale. They had one use, and for each rank they might scale, but having different item level artifacts did not change the strength of the trait, whereas Azerite pieces are very much based on the trait. So it could be worth, say, 10 item levels at 340, but depending on how it scales, maybe it's worth 6 item levels at 370, or maybe it's worth 15 item levels at 370. The scaling on all of the traits is and can be a little bit different. For example, one of the some of the traits that you guys mentioned that maybe only half of the trait stacks, that tends to also mean that half of the trait also scales. So as those traits where maybe only half of their strength will scale with item level, they're not going to be worth as much item level as the pieces go up. So it absolutely it's a very unfortunate thing that people got really used to with artifact traits that Azerite pieces just kind of stomped on the ground and set on fire.
Yeah, it's actually really funny that you mentioned that, because towards the end of beta, when I was trying to put together the Azerite guide, I was crunching numbers and trying to see if I could give some kind of recommendations for specific bosses as to how many item levels should you drop for X trait. And the numbers are just all over the place. We had traits that would like start at being worth like 60 item levels at item level 340. And then by the time you got to like a 355, they would be worth like 15, because your primary stat and your secondary, your primary stats would just get so much higher that the trait just didn't scale well and stopped being valuable. So there's a huge variance in how powerful a trait is based on its scaling.
Awesome. All right. So, you know, the last thing that we've done with the other, with the other specs is, if you had one kind of tagline, one phrase, one sentence that you could give out to brewmasters everywhere as a piece of advice, you know, something brief, just a few words, what would that phrase be?
Talk to your healers. We generally can answer your questions in a really general sense and give you some advice or whatever. You will have you and your healing team will have a much better idea of what needs to change to fix problems than we will from the outside. We can give you general advice, but you can get specifics if you talk to your healers.
That is great advice. I'm going to say roll away. In the immortal words of Celestalon, just roll away. In Mythic Plus, kite more.
God, I have such a love-hate relationship with that quote.
Kiting is really, really strong right now in Mythic Plus. Even just auto attacks do a lot of damage. We are still not at the point where we were a couple of tiers into Legion, where you could basically face tank all the way up through plus 15 and not worry about it. We're definitely not there. So just even if you're only doing like a 5, consider kiting so that you don't have to be healed as much. And you can still keg smash from range. So you can still do a lot of AoE damage while not being in range of being hit in the face.
Beautiful. Hopefully people will take those phrases to heart. All right, so the last thing we like to do is we do like to take questions from our donors. As a little reward for their patronage and their support of Peak and all the stuff that we do. So today we only have one question, although it is certainly a question that is something that can elicit a lot of responses. And with this coming week's mega threads on Reddit approaching, you know, not something that you guys will have to go into super depth into, but Wavebrew asks, what would you want to bring up to Ian or the team in regards to Brewmaster?
I think we've already touched on a lot of the points that we would want to bring up. We've also got a bunch of notes that we've been working on to put together our mega thread post. The main thing is, for me at least, is just I want it to feel like my abilities are having a real impact. And if I don't need to have a real impact with my mitigation, I would like to have a more engaging DPS rotation. And those are like the two main points that I would like to bring up to Ian and the team, is I want to feel like my abilities are doing things. And if I don't need to don't need them to do things, I would like to have a fallback plan that's not just press these two buttons on cooldown.
I really want to echo that whole mitigation points having, or mitigation abilities having impact. I recently, this was a, we were talking about this in the tank, Theory Crafting Discord, that was the original change to active mitigation, when they first introduced it, the purpose of it was so that tanks could have impactful control over their own survivability. And it feels like we've moved very far away from the it, like, actually impactful control back into kind of just getting hit in the face with some mitigation tools.
Okay. And I know, you know, like I mentioned, we will have our big mega threads that I know you guys are more than prepared for, as over-prepared as us monks tend to be for these sort of things. As I can say, speaking from experience in regards to Reddit threads. So I'm sure people will anxiously, and you know, people will anxiously await to read it, as I'm hoping that Blizzard will be as well, even though obviously it is unofficial. It's not, you know, something that's sanctioned by Blizzard. We are just hoping to try and put everything in one place for them to read. So I know our goal is to have some companion or a companion piece on Peak with more of the details and keep the Reddit threads as brief as possible. So we will try and do that. I believe, again, I think that's this Wednesday. I believe we'll be posting that Wednesday morning, so we're in the process of getting everything ready. So just to wrap things up, I do want to thank you guys for coming. Very much appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's been fun.
All right, so that will bring our fourth episode of PeatCraft Podcast to a close. Next week, I'm not sure what we're going to do. We may do a wrap-up of all three specs. We may try and delve into some PvP if we can get people to enough people who actually PvP as a monk these days to come and chat. So there is not currently a plan for what we're going to do, just that we're going to do something. So stay tuned and check out to see where we go with that for next week. Thank you again to our guests for coming. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the podcast. If you like this sort of content, if you like the fantastic written content and other stuff that we provide on peakserenity.com, please consider supporting us through PayPal or Patreon. If you support us through Patreon, you get access to a little bit of extra channels in Discord, as well as a nice color for your name so people can recognize the support that you've given us. And the opportunity to ask questions during these podcasts. So thank you very much for watching. And until next time, have a good night, morning, afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are.